This, we've covered the seals. So we've seen the seventh seal just open. We had gone through the first six. And now we are to a place where we see these last judgments, this last judgment of the seal judgment turn into what we call the trumpet judgment. So of these three types of judgment, we see the trumpets now. Eventually we'll see the bowls or vials. But what I want you to see in this picture of Revelation 8 is that it's not all wrath, that it's partial wrath, that God doesn't pour out his full wrath. He doesn't wipe out all of mankind. He gives some grace, and with that grace, there's the ability to be saved. You think about it, God is able to pour out all of his wrath. He never has. People say, what about the flood? Well, eight people survived the flood. But in the very end, the earth is completely burned up. There is no more grace in that moment. And even when those folks are caught up to the great white throne, getting ahead of myself, they're finally cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. There's no more grace at that point. But what I want you to know for us is God's partial judgments upon us, right? He's given us grace. God doesn't whip us and destroy us every time we make a mistake. Praise the Lord. God has grace upon us. It's sufficient for us. And so we see, we've talked about this in chapter 6, but I just love it. The prayers of all these saints. Incense represents the prayers of saints and are coming up. And whether these be the martyrdom saints of the Great Tribulation or the saints of all time, it certainly alludes to the fact that God covets our prayers and that he really likes to hear us pray. We use that illustration of adult children getting their parents' presents, and it's like, you know, you've been storing up all this good stuff, and finally they have some money, and they're able to give back to you, and it's like, that's more of a blessing. Even though we like the macaroni on the cardboard, the glued on there, you know, when they've put their money into it, and their effort, and their time, and they thought about it, it even means a little bit more, right? We store those things up. But we see down in verse 5, the angel takes the censer and fills it with fire, the altar, and casts it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. You say, well, how can an earthquake happen in heaven? Well, what I believe happens here is this cataclysmic, that it shakes the foundation of the universe. God says that eventually that the earth into the bottomless pit. And so it's just a huge thing. But now these seven angels in verse 6 are prepared, and they have these seven trumpets prepared to sound them. We know trumpets speak of warning. A bugler in a war goes out before and warns everybody. And so now these seven angels have these seven trumpets. Are they special angels? I'm not sure, but they were able to stand in the presence of God. So it seems that they have a hierarchy there. And they blow the first one in verse 7. The first angel sounded. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. You see, it's mingled with blood here. This follows hail. This hail comes down. And so you see kind of the Exodus plague there come down from heaven into the earth. And it destroys a third part of all the trees. Now, no doubt there are some fruit-bearing trees in this. And so you're going to get things going on a third of all the trees. When you look at that, you just think about in our world today, what happens when bananas are hard to find in Ohio and then the supply is low, but the demand is high? What happens? They jack up the prices, right? And so prices are raised. So you would see that going on. But to give you some understanding, we're going to see also here a third part of the green grass was burned up. And so everything that you would plant in, everything that you would have agriculture in, a third of that is burned up. If we were looking at a third, now it's not a third of the world, okay? It's not a third of all of geography. It's a third of the grass and the trees. But I'm not great at math, but my math has told me this, that basically, let's say Antarctica is grassless and treeless for the most part, right? And so some math to use the six continents left, that would be, okay, ready for some math tonight. Let's be engaged. So there's six continents left. What is a third of those six? Teacher? Two, right? Good job. Okay. Now watch. Let's just say Australia and all of North America lose all of their grass and trees. North America is not the United States, right? North America is Canada, Mexico, United States, and all of Australia. We're just using the smallest of the continents with Australia. But let's just use two big continents. Let's just say that Europe and Asia lose all of their grass. It doesn't. I know that because in the Middle East there's still some grass and trees because he's dealing with Israel. But let's just say that it's South America and North America are completely devoid of grass and trees. Well, that's going to cause a lot of problems. going to cause a lot of issues. And then we go on here and we see that the second angel, so this first angel is coming and we see a third part of the trees and the grass are completely wiped out, destroyed. And then the second angel sounds in verse 8, and there's a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Now, I can't prove to you this, but probably some sort of an asteroid coming down and falling into the sea. You ever seen the guys in the rockets and they land in the ocean, things like that? Landing in the sea, well, what would happen in the Bible? We put those verses in there. So connected to what we call verse 9, a third part, it's all under one trumpet blast. A third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. So what just happened? Some cataclysmic event comes and hits in this ocean, and it destroys all of the marine life and all of the ships of this certain ocean. So a third of the oceans, the seas, let's just use the biggest and say the Pacific Ocean, has this happen to it, and all of the, a third of the marine life in the Pacific Ocean, we don't even know how much marine life because we can't reach the bottom. And so a third of the marine life, great whales and sharks and squids and all these different things, plus the people on these boats, well, the sea turns to blood. The death, can you imagine the foul stench and the things that are going on there? But then also you would lose a lot of seafood. And so again, economically and geography is all being changed here in this second trumpet that's being blown here. And what I also like to look at here is this. When you see that take place, you see sea. So this is just the salt water. When the Bible speaks of seas, it speaks of salt waters. This next trumpet blast, this third angel in verse 10, he's going to have this sounded, and a great star falls from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. That is enough water to be all of the Great Lakes, all of the Mississippi, and all of the Ohio River, just making it real for you here in North America. If the Ohio, the Mississippi, and all the Great Lakes here in United States of America were to turn and become bitter, the United States wouldn't survive. We wouldn't survive, okay? Just understand that. God might say, yeah, the Stillwater can stay where it's at and the Great Miami can stay where it's at, but there would be a lot of people going without. Now, here it says that this star has a name called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters become wormwood. Many died of the waters because they were made bitter. So the water is still there, but it's made bitter, probably like a poison, like they're filled with an antifreeze or something like that. Not really, but like that. And so, you know, you could go lap up water from the Wolf Creek if you want to. It probably doesn't taste very good. But think about this. It didn't rain that much here this year. You've been by and seen the creeks and the things and how low they are comparatively. And so we've got these things going on. Imagine now all the animals that are left, all the people that are left are trying to drink out of these same places, but a third of all the world's fresh water is gone. We go here to the fourth angel in verse 12. And a third part of the sun was smitten, a third part of the moon, as the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Well, this is a huge deal. We talked about what would happen if the sun was messed up and how it affects time. But here, reading this verse, it means that days go from being 24 hours to 16 hours in nature. And so think about how dark it is right now, and then think about your iPhone no longer tells time correctly, your iWatch. Nothing that you see makes sense. Your calendars, your clocks, everything that's set off of 24 hours, it's now short. Remember Jesus says, except those days be shortened, but they won't be shortened, right? And so what are we saying here? The way that the solar system makes it seem is that they're shortened. They're not, but it seems like it's a 16-hour day. You ever said, I can't get everything I need to get done. The days aren't long enough. There's not enough time in the day. Here there literally won't be. Verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying in a loud voice. Now, it's gotten pretty bad, right? I mean, we got a third of the trees, a third of the grass, a third of the water, fresh and salt. We've got a third, we've got the sun blotted out to some level and the moon blotted out. A third part of the stars are blotted out. I think it's interesting. God doesn't see the stars as amazing as you and I do. You know, in Genesis, when it says he made the great light and the smaller light, and, you know, he makes the sun and the moon, and he says, and he made the stars also. It's like the stars were like a throw-in for God. You know? He makes this great thing called the sun and the moon, and in Genesis 1, it says, and he made the stars also. It's like God just went, eh, here's some stars. Like I call that the icing on the cake. He's like, here, let's put a little icing on there just to dress it up a little bit, right? Or sprinkles, right? Here's some sprinkles. They don't do a whole lot, but they look good, right? That's kind of what God said about the stars. Here's some sprinkles on top of the sun and the moon. Like, oh, thanks, God. But what's cool about that is this. He says, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and they, the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And so it's still 24 hours the way we would understand it. But remember we talked about Alaska and some of you that have lived in Alaska? But this happens to the entire earth, where if you were living right now, how many hours of light did we truly have today? If you woke up at 6 and you got out by 7, so you had from about 7 to about 5, so you're right there working at 8 to 9 hours of actual light, and so half the day is completely dark. But you know how depressed you guys get, and how many of you are like, I can't believe, I hate fall back, I hate when they change the time, stop messing with it, right? It's like that everywhere. Think about the Depression. Now, this is lowly Ohio. It makes it worse when it's cold, doesn't it? When it's cold and dark, and then, Lord forbid, it snows, or it gets rainy, or sleeting. And it's a depressing time. People think that people commit more suicides during this time of year because of the holidays, but really it's because darkness has set in the land, and because people can't get out. And doesn't it just feel good? Today, I was so blessed that when I got up, the sun was shining bright. And doesn't it feel good that even though it was like kind of cold in the morning and you know it's going to get dark soon, isn't it nice just to stand out in the sun and just kind of let the sun hit you and feel that? That's gone away here. It's gotten bad. But here comes another angel. It says, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's going to be the worst. And here comes this angel in verse 13, flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Now watch, what we've been dealing with in chapter 8 is things that are happening on the earth physically. But in chapter 9, see, Jesus says this. He says, you shouldn't care so much about those who are physically able to hurt you, but you should be more caring about the one who is able to cast you into hell's flames, right? And so we've been dealing with these physical things, but now in these last three woes, we see the spiritual, which is really where the impact comes. So look in chapter 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Now, the participle of fall is past tense here, fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. The assumption is that was Satan's fall, and that he was put into the bottomless pit, that he's, you know, the king of that. Now, he's able to go to earth and do these things, but look what it says. It said, fall from heaven unto the earth. The bottomless pit is in the earth. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now let's stop there for a moment, because this is the study of the book of Revelation, but also making it relevant to us in the latter times and end times. One of the weirdest things I've ever done or been a part of as a pastor is going to the crematorium and seeing a body burned. And when a body is burned and you hear the back straps of that, those tendons snapping in fire and the smell of the flesh. Now, I can't prove this, but it makes a lot of sense to me. We know that hell is hot. And we know that people are given an extraordinary supernatural body that is built for torment. That everybody lives forever, but some live forever in heaven and some live forever in hell. And in hell, there's torments, right? I can prove that because the Bible tells us that. He lifts up his eyes and, hey, can I just get a dip of water? I can't even get a dip of water from your finger to my tongue. And so if these bodies are made supernatural to burn, hair and eyes and things, they just keep burning over and over and over again. It makes sense that when you're cooking on a stove and something's boiling and there's a lid on it, when you take the lid off, the smoke rises. And here, when the bottomless pit is open, it says the smoke of a great furnace, the lid is taken off, and all the flesh of those who have been burning raises up and causes darkness and comes out of the bottomless pit. Now, it's my job to make this relevant to you. Everybody in this room, save for the babies, most likely knows somebody that's in hell right now. And the smoke arises out of the bottomless pit like a great furnace, the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. Well, I can tell you this, they're not barbecuing. They're not smoking ribs to eat, but ribs are being smoked. It's a reason why we need to be great witnesses of Jesus Christ. It's a reason why we need to get off our duff and tell people how to be saved, because somebody you know and somebody I know is burning in hell right now. And we need to make sure. Jesus gave us one great commission. I harp on it, and I will always harp on it. And it's to go ye therefore. Everything else is a side note. It's a footnote. But you see this in this time. Now that's going on right now. They're boiling down there. Smoke's lifted off. The people are on fire right now in hell. And it was commanded them, or verse 3, excuse me, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Anybody here ever been bit by a scorpion? I've never been bit by a scorpion. You been stung by a bee? Well, they say that a scorpion sting or bite is 10 times worse than that of a hornet's. Now, getting stung by a hornet's bad enough. Trust me, I know. I got 5 of them this summer, and it didn't feel very good. And it hurt for a couple of days. These locusts come, and they're told they're not allowed to hurt the grass, because the grass has already got a third of it gone anyway. They're not allowed to hurt any green thing, so no trees, but only those men that have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Revelation 6 talked about this. Now, some believe that this is also they're not allowed to hurt the tribulation saints or those who have gotten saved. But by this point, I believe that we are approaching the midpoint of the tribulation here and maybe a little past. But remember, all the things we've talked about, they're not necessarily chronological. They're all together. So all these things are happening simultaneously. They're going on here. But what I do know is this, that these folks are not allowed to hurt the 144,000 that are out preaching. So Jehovah's Witnesses will take that, and they have surmised and taken some of that. Ultimately, the Millerites, and they accepted that the ones who are sealed of God are the 144,000. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about 144,000 preachers that we talked about already that are going out. So they're not allowed to hurt those men. They're only allowed to go out and hurt others, but they can't hurt the grass or anything. People say, what kind of beast is this? Let's keep on reading. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. You know what the Bible just said? The Bible says people are going to want to die. They're going to want to commit suicide. Now, because of the things that are going on with economics and with the world, they can't even find the tools to kill themselves. So they're just alive. They have to live. We're going to see where they're going to die here in a little bit. But I always think about this. You know, when you've gone through some pain and then the pain is over, it's a great feeling, isn't it? I remember when I was in 7th grade, I broke my hip playing basketball. Didn't know I broke it. Kind of played through the rest of the season. Went into football in my 8th grade year with this hip that was like I was limping and it always hurt. But, you know, when you're young, you just kind of, everybody thought it was a pool or something like that. And I played my first 2 football games, and my coach said, something's wrong with you. Why do you run like that? I hurt. And they sent me, I get x-rays, and I have a broken hip. The thing that looks like an ice cream ball on top of a cone on your hip, that determined, you know, you're 13 years old. I was determined, 14 years old. I'm going to play basketball this year, okay? Football season's over. This is October. Basketball tryouts are in November. The first game's in December in junior high. I'm going to make it. And so I did. I had surgery at Children's in Dayton. I got better. I rehabbed, I was ready to go, made the team, first game, I'm starting, first half, I scored 4 points, everything's looking good in the first quarter, and started the second quarter, I ran down the court and I broke my left kneecap. It's like I went through all this pain and suffering to get better, only to have something worse happen. These folks are being tormented 5 years with these, or 5 months with these stings, and right when it's all over, they're like, oh, thank God it's over, and they get killed. I'm laughing because it's so like God, because we get this mixed up, but God's judgment is perfect. God's wrath is perfect. It's hard for us to understand that, but the wrath of God is perfect. It's righteous. It's right. And so God, not only does God know how to perfectly save us, but he also knows how to perfectly punish us. He knows what is right and how to punish. Anybody in here have a stubborn child or is the stubborn child? Anybody? Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, but you know, we all have a stubborn child probably. I was the stubborn child in my family. And you can say it and say it and say it. And that stubborn child, you have to find special ways to punish them. Because the stubborn child is the child that you can spank them and they say, and they don't cry, and you can ground them. Like, I don't care. I like my room. You know, you know, you just want to choke them. And you know you can't destroy them because that's called murder. And so what can you do? You have to find ways to bring wrath upon them, to punish them. And you have to think of these perfect ways. God knows how to. The Bible says your Father on earth knows how to give good gifts. How much more does your Father in heaven? But he also knows how to give perfect punishment. Chastens those who he loves. What do you think he does to those who don't love him, whom he has never accepted into his family because they've rejected him? Perfect wrath. But let's look at these locusts. People will let their imaginations run wild. I don't really care what they are. There's some kind of supernatural force, whether they be helicopters, whether they be military things. John's looking at it. But the Bible says, take this for note, he doesn't use similitude at the beginning of this, he later does. He doesn't say they were like locusts. He says, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. So he says they're locusts, but then the things about them are like unto horses prepared unto battle. On their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Joel talks about that. Now, you've heard me say this before, probably, but the hermeneutics here, the interpretation of the Bible would tell me that there are things that are like or metaphor, there are things that are real, but whatever this is or whatever these are, to John, they're real locusts, they're supernatural creatures. People will say, oh, I think they're helicopters and, you know, the sound of these horses. A woman puts her hair in a ponytail and does this and it looks like a helicopter, you know, maybe. I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't change how we get saved or how we need to get saved. And you can wonder about those things, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I wouldn't teach it as doctrine. I would just say to you this. In verse 10, it says, their tails were like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. That's what they're there to do. So no matter if it's helicopters or missiles or real bugs that come out of the ground that kill stuff or hurt stuff, I don't know, but it's bad, okay? And then you keep going here in verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. In the Greek there, it means perdition. So this is the king or the angel of perdition, of death. And many say that this is Satan. Some think it's somebody different or somebody that Satan has rule over. Again, I don't care. It's a bad guy. I always say that, like Abaddon. It's kind of corny, but it's a bad guy. You know, he's a bad dude. But watch what happens here. Now, can we all agree? I know it's Wednesday night, but by a shaking of the head or the blinking of the eye, can we all agree things have gotten pretty bad? Watch what verse 12 says. One woe is past. We got two more to go. Sheesh. What else could happen? Well, let's see. And behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. That's important. These four angels are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, hold your place there, but turn over to Revelation 18. Jude tells us that there are angels that are in everlasting torment or chains of darkness. We know that there are angels there. Many believe that these are the angels from Genesis 6 who had affairs with the women of that day. Whether you believe they're angels or you believe they're some antediluvian people, makes no matter to me, but I do know that there are certain demonic forces, fallen angels, who have been put in there right now, chained up. But the Bible tells us where they're chained up at. Look at Revelation 18 and look in verse 2. These same things, these same beings, Babylon, the cradle of all false religions. Babylon, the Tower of Babel. From there, all false religions. Some people say it's the Catholic Church. Some people say it's this. I believe it's probably all false religions of the world in some kind of conglomerate. But I do know this. Look at verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You can go back there. And so now we see, so Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? Look back in chapter 9. And it says that these angels, or these fallen angels, so these are evil. The word is used as angels, but these are devils or demons, as some might call them. Out of where does it say? It says they're bound in the great river Euphrates. Where's the Euphrates at? Tigris and Euphrates, we believe that's the Garden of Eden. We know the Garden of Eden is there. But where is that at? That's in Babylon. That's Persia and Babylon. This is these kingdoms. That is modern day Iraq. And I want you to think about this historically. From the Tower of Babel to the time that, let's just use the Old Testament to kind of get this, from the Assyrians to the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, to the Persians, to the Greeks, to the Romans, there's always been a battle, and there's always been a horrible spiritual, demonic nature of that era. Even into your lifetimes, Saddam Hussein, I know that you probably think, oh, yes, Operation Iraqi Freedom. I just want you to know that America pulled out, and Iraq is a dump right now, and it's still spiritually depraved. What happened in all these places? Well, first of all, God says, you got to understand a little bit about the Old Testament. God said, okay, Ishmael's going to be a people too, right? Isaac's a people. Ishmael is this line that the Muslim people, the Islamic people have followed. And then he says, okay, and Jacob and Esau, there's two peoples inside of this womb right now, and they're going to be a warring people, the Edomites. And all these people over in this area of Babylon, I'm not saying these people are devilish. I'm saying that's where these demons are disseminating from. And that this is where it's been, this activity. You could go back and read the very beginning of Genesis, and Lamech says to his two wives, hey, listen, Cain is avenged seven times, but Lamech 70 and seven times. Listen, there's this evil spiritual nature of murder and this thing and this crescent. Why? Because the blood of Abel still crieth from the ground. Think about this. The first person to ever go to Abraham's bosom is Abel. You know what Abel's name means? Son of Abel. Doesn't mean anything. You know why? Because really all it means to us is he's the first person, he's a sinner, but he's the first person who died unjustly, right? His own brother killed him. And it says, the blood of Abel crieth unto me, the Lord says. And so we see this in that same place between the Tigris and Euphrates. That's where evil began. That's where the spawn of evil, Cain. Adam and Eve sinned in that same place, but then the blood, the Adam and Eve sinned, was willful disobedience. Understand what I'm saying? But in their willful disobedience, there was a tempter, the serpent beguiled. Nobody tempted Cain. He willfully killed his brother out of anger. Right? From there, all evilness has began in our world. And so here we see in Genesis, Revelation chapter 10, we see now that these angels that have been held back, Revelation chapter 9, excuse me. These angels that have been held back are now released in verse 15. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. So now those people that wanted to die, and they think they've got relief from it. Oh, we got relief from these scorpion bites. Well, now they're going to die. Right when they thought everything was going to be okay, now they're going to die. There's nothing like thinking you made it through something only for something worse to happen. You ever seen those old Jaws movies? They think, oh, he's gone. And I don't really think he's gone. Dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun. I've always thought this. I don't know who made the music to Jaws, but it had to be a black dude. There's too much bass in that. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Phil? It was like, doo-doop, doo-doop, doo. They got some 12s in the back. Never mind. Listen, that's just my mind wanders. Excuse me. It doesn't help me that I'm just how I am. Now a third part of men. Well, we've already said that 2 billion, if there's 8 billion people on the earth right now, and we say that we're going to have a fourth of them die, and now we have a third of them die. So we're talking about half of the world's population is now gone. 4 billion people, 50 million people died in the World War II and the Jewish Holocaust, and 50 million to 4 billion is like this. And people think, that's the greatest war. That's the worst thing that's ever happened is the Holocaust and World War II. 50 million, 4 billion. That's Taylor Swift to Travis Kelce money. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. It's okay, good. I'm glad you don't, all right? You're not up on your pop culture, and I'm glad. Verse 16, And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. If you know math, that's 200 million. China says they could have a 200 million man army in verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. So many people believe this is nuclear war. By these was a third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. So a lot of people think that these are military things, that they are, you ever seen Star Wars, like these horses, like those like they look like dogs or something like that, but they run and they can shoot. And so who knows what it'll look like. I don't know when the actual end is coming, but I do know that they are supernatural machines of destruction, whether they be supernaturally of God, animals, or whether they be supernatural machines. And when I say supernatural, I mean God uses them supernaturally. But I do think this, and I just kind of want to look at this for a moment before I finish and kind of give you the summation of end times. The saddest thing that happens here is nobody that going through this decides they're going to get right. Watch this. Now I'm going to make it real to you. I'm going to go over just a little bit, so stay patient with me. Because these last two verses, this is how we apply it to us. Okay? Ready? So you listen really good. If you didn't listen to me the rest of the night, listen to me right here. We've studied these two chapters of Revelation, but now part of this, living in the end times, we're living in the last days, the end times come after the rapture, but what does this mean for us? And the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works of their hands. You say, how could they see all this? A third of the grass, a third of the trees, a third of the sea, a third of the waters, a third of the people. People have been hurt and running around for 5 months now, stung by stuff. How could people not get it right? There's a great war raging with demons or with real people. I don't know, but all this, how could people not get it right? The Bible says that they should not worship. He says they repented not of their works. So let me give you the BTV version. They continue to worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. But remember, they weren't killed by the plagues. Who here is alive tonight? Nobody raised their hand. Who here is alive tonight? Oh, I know, it's Wednesday night, and I'm preaching in Revelation. But listen, you're alive. Trust me, if you're not somebody that just got CPR, help them. listen, you lived through the worst plague in your lifetime. It's called COVID-19. Now listen to me. I was reading a magazine tonight. Actually, I didn't have this in noon service, but you lived through the worst plague. You know what COVID-19 should have done? It should have galvanized the world to go, we need to seek a higher authority. But what actually happened is, Christian, is I was talking to some pastor friends at a pastor meeting yesterday. Many of their churches haven't recovered and got the attendance back that they had before COVID. Now listen to me. So what actually happened with Christians is, Christians, like weak little feeble sheep, as soon as a plague hit, they ran. We're 3.5 years later and they still haven't gone back to church. You say, how could that happen? The lost world, I was talking to somebody the other day, this little church right here of ours, people say, oh, it's so small. Listen, we got 30 baptisms. We got three this Sunday, 30 baptisms this year. I know churches that have 400, 500, 600 people that got 10 or 11 people baptized this year. Now, I'm not judging. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you, listen, this is where we're at right here. This is what's going on. People, you have one or two options. Newsflash. I just told Brother Carter this night. Just came to me when studying this week. The end of the year, December 31st is the last live stream we're doing. We're going to record our morning service and we'll upload it to YouTube later, but I'm not doing any more live stream. I'm not giving anybody else any other excuse not to get up and come to church. It's become too convenient, and I realize people that were sick. Well, before there was ever live stream, people got sick. And you can hear it audio, you can get it through YouTube. We're still going to make it accessible in that sense. Now we're on the radio, so now I even feel more like, yeah, I don't need to do this anymore. The reason why is because I believe it's made a real easy for people to just say, should I drive? The 11 a.m. service, we give you everything. You get the choir, you get the announcements, you get the soloists, you get all this stuff, and no more, baby. No more. December 31st, that all goes away. We'll be almost 4 years past COVID, and you're talking to a pastor who had church in a parking lot, and the church grew by 70% in the middle of the pandemic. We're just not having it anymore. It's not anybody's decision. We didn't take no vote. I didn't ask the deacons. This is what we're doing. But there's a reason why. Because you all made it here tonight. You took your gas money and your time. Let's keep going here. But the plague didn't change anything. You say, how could that happen? All this bad stuff's happened. Well, how many hundreds of thousands of people did they say died through COVID-19? This is a global pandemic. It's not just the United States. It was a global pandemic. The worst thing, there was some fear, but what did they try to give us to calm our fears? And with me, I've never cared about any of that stuff. You do what makes you feel comfortable. It doesn't bother me. But I will say this to you, but the first thing that they tried to give to us was not a hope in Jesus Christ, but was a hope in a medicine, was the hope in a mask, was the hope in social distancing. And all I'm saying to you is watch what happened here. Now listen, this is what's going to affect you a little bit tonight. So listen, he said, they repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. And so people continue to worship everything but God after COVID-19. Because it says 40 million people just in the United, or just in the 40 million Christians, sorry, in the world left church in this period of time, and only 15 million came back in the entire world. We lost 25 million people in the churches because of COVID. I question whether some of those people are saved in the first place, but I know some of them are because I know some of them that have never come back, and I believe they're truly saved, but keep going here. It says, in idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. You know what people were doing during COVID when they were holed up in their rooms, they were hiding away and they wouldn't come out? You know what happened? Every single person in this room probably got one. You got something called a stimulus check. They tried to give you hope with money. The last thing I needed during COVID was money because I wasn't going nowhere. Everything was closed. What I need a stimulus check for? They said, oh, you got four kids? Make it rain. Here's a whole bunch of money. But you know what I think is really sad and what I've realized, and I didn't really check this out until I was reading this for study. All those stimulus checks, people didn't go back to church and church's finances didn't go up. They took money that they never saw coming. And instead of giving it to the church's building fund or to the church's missions fund, they used it to buy a car or an iWatch or to get another streaming service or to do something, our church included, and they take this money and they continue to worship things rather than God. They continue, people are saving that money and going to Disney World rather than saying, you know what, let me invest in the eternal things of God, where we're not setting our affections on things on earth but things above. But people took those stimulus checks. They talk all the while, they're talking about the administration, and I don't like this president, I don't like this Congress, but they took that money and they spent it right on up. Got them a new car. We're going to get tires with this. It's the same thing y'all do with your tax returns. If you get a tax return and you don't tithe year round, you owe your whole tax return to the Lord. You can do the math later, and it still isn't a whole tithe. Now, again, I told you there's a part of tithing and a part of giving in this, but it's real. Look what it says. They lived through the plagues. It didn't hurt them. It didn't kill them. If you lived through it, they didn't repent of their ways. They didn't start worshiping God. They didn't start getting into church and not just going to church, but serving the Lord and doing something for Him. They didn't start giving other things. They still had idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, and neither can see nor hear nor walk. None of that stuff can do anything for you, because you can get all the stimulus check money in the world and can't none of it save you. You never seen that before, have you? That was something new for you tonight, because it was new for me. God enlightened me. I said, you know what? Because I'm guilty of it. I gave some of our stimulus money to the check, but I didn't give it all to the... What if all those 40 million people that left the church, what if we all, well, some of those people didn't live in America. So let's just say in America, every American church, every Christian in America had got those stimulus checks. What if we all put all that money back into the church, into the things of God? You know what happened during COVID? Churches closed because they didn't have enough money. Churches struggled and are still struggling. But what if a church had 30 members and all 30 of them got a $1,200 stimulus check and they put all that stimulus money into the church? Can you do any math? We're talking over 30 grand into the church instantly. I know this from doing this. Most of those churches probably had bivocational pastors anyway. Their church would still be open today. It's really important, guys, that we see, yes, this happens in the end time, but the Bible says this, that their spirit of Antichrist is in the world right now. We haven't even talked about the Antichrist yet. He ain't even come on the scene just yet. He about to. I got news for you, too. That was only the sixth woe. Things are getting worse, and now look at verse 21. Neither are they repented of their murders nor of their sorceries. I apologize to the pharmacists in the room tonight, but it is the pharmakia word for the Greek. You know what else didn't happen? Nor their fornication, nor their thefts. You know what people didn't repent of? murders at an all-time high in the United States of America after COVID. The murder numbers went up. Actually, if you look at the world, murder is up in the entire world. People didn't repent when COVID happened. They say, the same people, watch this, what's the first thing that happened politically in the United States, big politically, it was election year, but big politically, what happened, what's the first thing that the United States voted on, or we didn't vote on, but the Supreme Court voted on after the pandemic? What was it? What's the first, the big major thing that happened? Roe v. Wade, right? Now watch this, watch this. So now it's illegal. I know what just happened in Ohio, but at this time, now it's illegal. But the same voting block who says, you got to get vaccinated, you got to wear a mask, you got to do this, for the most part, again, I don't care about that, I'm just using this as an illustration, same voting bloc are the same ones that say, your body, your choice. You have the right to murder. You know what went up after COVID? Abortions. They repented not. God, people were dying with COVID. We can't get into the hospital rooms, or we can't get in there because there's nowhere to take them because the hospitals are full. But people repented not of their wickedness and killed more. That's what happens in Revelation 9:21. Watch this. Nor are there sorceries. In our sense of the world, it's drugs. Well, look no further than issue two. Drugs have gone up. Overdoses has gone up. In 2020, you didn't hear so much about fentanyl. You've heard some about it, but since then, fentanyl overdoses are going so far up in every small town in America and all over the world. People are dying of their sorceries, of their drug abuse and their drug use. It went up after COVID. We lived through the plague, and now people are dying because of fentanyl. Watch this. This is all facts. You can go check it in any reputable news source. Again, I said reputable. Nor of their fornication. You know what happened after COVID? In 2020, you probably think it's always been, but in 2020, there wasn't, it was just LGBTQ. And I used to, it's LGBTQ plus, it's just everything. You can be pansexual, you can be transsexual, you can be trisexual, you can be bisexual, you can be a dog and want to be a boy, and we're okay with that. Just since 2020, this is not far-fetched. Go look at it. They're fornications. All these things will be in your face. Not just homosexuality. Everything that has to do with fornication. Adultery is up. All these things are up. Every sexual sin has gone up after the pandemic. You would have thought people would have repented and said, baby, I love you. Let's get back together. But no, they didn't sing Al Green, let's stay together. They said, no, no, no. Party, party, party all the time. Let's go. Let's find somebody new. Let's get a side chick. Let's get a side bro. It's sick. They didn't repent. You say, how could that happen in the end? It's happening now. Look at the last one. Nor are there thefts. Theft is at an all-time high. Right here in our own church, our beloved deacon robbed at gunpoint the mailman. When I was a kid, nobody would ever rob the mailman or the milkman. They had important stuff. I thought to myself, how dumb are thieves anyway? Rob the Amazon guy. He's got all the good stuff. You come to my house in the mail, ain't nothing in there. The Amazon boxes is where it's at. Not encouraging that at all, but think about how dumb are these thieves. But theft is way up, and it's on the rise. People didn't repent. You know what should have happened during COVID? The world should have galvanized together. We should have had one of those anthems, one of those We Are the Worlds where everybody really got together. But instead, everybody did that which was right in his own eyes and stayed holed up. And as soon as it was over, as soon as they lived through it, they went back out, right back to murdering, right back to stealing, right back to drugging, right back to thugging. And all I'm saying to you is that's what it's like living in these last days. And you know what the remedy for a plague is? The remedy for the plague, who blood of Jesus Christ. It's not stimulus checks. It's not who gets elected. It's not issue one. It's not issue two. Shame on the church of God for not telling more people, because the young family that's considering abortion, if we win them to Christ and we disciple them and train them up, they'll know that the Bible is an open book test and that Deuteronomy tells us to choose life. They'll understand they don't need to go to drugs because they can come to their church and they can say, we need your help. We need to be lifted up. And the church won't shun them and look down upon them because they're addicted to heroin. The church won't shun them because they've stolen and they're in jail. They'll get out of jail and we'll lift them up and they mess up again and we bring them back in because we're prodigals and we understand that we were once the prodigal. And so we bring them back in as a father that's loving them and sitting on the outside porch and saying, I'll leave the light on for you. And we're the kind of people that should be looking and saying, you know what? We're going to do everything we can to make make sure that people aren't looking at their silver and their gold, but we're going to give of our things to the gifts and to the glory of God, and we're going to bring it into this place. And when we do that, we're going to have this opportunity to tell people, hey, listen, there is no other name given in heaven and earth whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus. And when we do that, we can tell those people, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when we do that, we can say, he that was knew no sin, he became sin, that we might really like to live in the end times, because that's what it was. And we have to be the 144,000. We have to blow the trumpet. We have to tell the people, if you want to see the plague overcome, you better start applying the blood on these people. They say, we're living out the days of Revelation. No, we're not. Because it's not nearly as bad as what we just read. But what kind of fool do you have to be to wait till it gets that bad? If there's a preventative measure that we can take, hey, Lord willing, all those 14, 15 people that took the CPR training and learned the Heimlich and different tactics, prayerfully, we'll never have to use it. But thank God that there's some preventative measures just in case. Jesus isn't sitting behind a glass with a hammer to bust it just in case, break if needed. Jesus is readily available. He's on the throne. He's standing there. He says, I'm knocking on the door, and if anybody will let me in, I'll come in there and sup with him. I'll save him right here and right now. All I'm saying to you is what's going on in the book of Revelation is going on in some small measure, but we have the opportunity to get it remedied before it ever goes down for some people, before they're burning with smoke and fire and the smoke coming out. Bottomless pit. I still believe God. I still believe he's able. I still believe he's on the throne. I still believe that we are the vessels unto honor. I still believe that we have the Great Commission, and the Great Commission should have us. It should grip us. And when we go out and tell people about Christ and they get it and we disciple them, there'll be less deconversion, there'll be less de-churching, and there'll be more people singing glory, hallelujah. There'll be more people saying, that's how you do it. I ain't got to murder. I ain't got to steal. I ain't got to rob. I ain't got to do drugs because I got a family that's saved by the blood of Christ, bought by the blood of Christ, who's ready to sprinkle the blood of Christ, who's ready to stand beside me and lift me up and hug me and love me and tell me the truth in love and to move forward for the goodness and for the glory of his son, Jesus Christ, the bright and express image of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God,